All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We're getting to meet a new leader here in Erie, very important organization, the Erie City Mission, over 100 years of ministry to the least of these in our community. And we want to welcome to our microphones the new president and CEO, Brian Johansson. Brian, welcome to the show. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's an honor to be asked to lead this great organization that does such great work.
Well, let's get started with your origin story. Where did you grow up in high school, college, all that, and how you got started in this kind of work?
Sure. I born and raised in New York City. Father was an inner city pastor of a small church.
Grew what up in, what a borough? Yeah,
in Queens,
okay.
Long Island City, which is right near the 59th Street Bridge, if you know New York, and grew up right near the Queens Bridge projects. And went to public school and all the way through, and then went to college at Nyack College, which was a college up in a little north of the city.
That's Alliance?
Alliance, yep, Missionary Alliance School. And got a degree in business and went into the construction world, construction management in New York. Got married, met my wife in school. And then my wife and I kind of had a moment where, like in the early 90s, where we just were stepping over these homeless folks, you know, all over New York, you know, and it just was a thing that for us was just heart-wrenching to see that. And so as we get on the subway and ride the subway and go to work, we're seeing these folks every day. And so we both really felt that we need to do something about this. So her and I started going out and giving out sandwiches. So this is back in 91 maybe, and giving out soup and talking to people.
You're just doing this on your own.
No 501c3, no fundraising. It was just us going out, and some friends would come with us. And we really learned a lot that in that process. And then one day, standing in Columbus Circle, this is how it happened, around a barrel, sounds like a cliche, but there was a fire in a barrel near Columbus Circle. So there used to be the Coliseum there, if you know New York, big overhang, a couple hundred homeless people living under that overhang. And I'm talking to this guy, and he says, you know, you should go down to the Bowery Mission. Now, I had heard of the Bowery Mission, being a New Yorker, but I had never been there. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to them, and they said to me, hey, would you like to come work for us? And so we really thought about it. At that time, I was, growing up in New York, had always wanted to be a police officer. That was my goal, as all the guys on the block playing stickball. That's what we wanted to do. And so I had I'm now in my early 30s, and I took the test. And the same week that I got approved to be in the police academy, a letter came from the Bowery Mission saying, would you like to come work for us? So there was literally sitting on the kitchen table, two letters, a kind of a fork in the road, if you would, that worry, what are you going to do with your life? And so my wife, being the godly woman that she is, knew the right answer, but I had to, took me a while. I'm a little thicker in the head, you know, and we decided to kind of leave what we were doing and go to work with the homeless and those struggling, and went to work for the Bowery Mission. I spent 20 years there, working in from a site director all the way up to vice president. They had 8 sites in Manhattan and Queens, and they had a big camp for kids out in Pennsylvania, and it was a privilege to be there. In fact, the last 5 years we were there, my wife said to me, our daughter had left for college, why don't we move in the mission? So my wife and I moved into the Bowery Mission on the top floor in a little one-bedroom apartment and lived there for 5 years, had dinner every night with the homeless community, her idea. And I totally credit that to me understanding, because when you start rising in an organization, you start to become about spreadsheets and fundraising, and you kind of, why are we doing this? And having dinner every night with folks who don't have a place to stay really helped me understand why we do what we do. And so we did that for 5 years. And to end the story, my wife had some health issues. She's from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And so we made the decision to move to Western Pennsylvania. And so we were there for about 10 years down in Pittsburgh doing consulting. And then, I missed the day-to-day. Missed the, actually having lunch with some of our community who are struggling. I missed that. And so somebody told me about Erie City Mission. I began to talk to them, and here I am.
That's how I ended up here. I was going to say, this is not a career where you're bouncing all over the place. You started something. You were committed to it. Yeah. You kept with it.
Yeah.
You know. So these were major seasons of life. Your major changes in your seasons as you went through.
And I credit my wife with a lot of that, who really has a passion and just like me, and I think we see this as we're doing it together.
Sure.
Kids? We have one daughter who's now an adult, her husband and her have one son, so we have one grandson, and they're in the Lancaster area.
Your daughter was at the Bowery
She was a big part of, she served a lot of meals, worked in the kitchen. Maybe not always that she wanted to do that, but she did it anyway, and she learned. She has that same heart to help people, and she's a good kid. We're proud of her.
That's amazing. Talk about the kind of scope that the Bowery would represent. I mean, we in Erie can't understand the density of population and the immensity of the need in a place like Manhattan and Queens.
Yeah.
So when you talk about eight missions that the Bowery ran, you know.
Well, to put it in perspective, the Department of Homeless Services in New York City has 55,000 beds. So just put that in perspective. And the Bowery had many, many beds, probably 500-600 beds that we managed. But for us, the challenge really was, let's take Thanksgiving, for example. Everyone does a nice Thanksgiving meal. The Bowery did 9,000 Thanksgiving dinners on Thanksgiving. So this is the scope is just different. It's not any better or worse. It's just the need is just so magnified there, I would say.
What is the thread of how someone becomes homeless as you've seen?
It's a good question.
Your career.
Well, let me first say that I believe strongly that, unconsciously, a lot of us look at a person who's homeless and we might say or might think, well, there's bad decisions there. And that person, that's what you get for making those decisions. And that could be true. But I believe Jesus looked at people and said, you know what, took them for where they were at and said, how can I love you and help you move forward and deal with those issues in your life, whatever those are. So therefore, you look at the causes of homelessness, and a lot of them are economic, so the house burned down or a divorce or domestic violence. There's a lot of things that cause people to become homeless. We were dealing with a woman a couple months ago who was living in her minivan with two kids in the Walmart parking lot.
Wow.
And we don't like to think that's happening in our community, but it is. I mean, that's the reality. Then there's addiction issues. So, you can't get around that. Addiction is the outcome of a lot of things in a person's life. Mm-hmm. And then you have mental health. So there's kind of three different issues that I have seen in my career that are sometimes they're all three. Sometimes there's two out of three. But there are some definite issues that people are dealing with that cause them to become homeless. I don't think anybody chooses to be homeless. So let's just put it that way. And I think there are things that drive them, whether those are decisions they made or it's outside influences, but they have now come to a place in their life where they need help.
There is that situation where how we used to deal with folks back maybe 50, 60 years ago is that your families lived together.
Correct.
You know, you'd have multi-generational households.
Sure.
And that's not the case anymore. And then you add to the fact of, you know, you might have dysfunctional relationships or mm-hmm. you burn bridges. Mm-hmm. Again, mental health and addictions.
Yep.
They just, you know, and then things just catch up to them. Plus, it is just more expensive to live in a community like New York, like Manhattan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where I would live.
Yeah. No, it's become everyone talks about affordable housing, and that is an issue. I'm not going to say it's not. I think there are folks that are struggling to kind of make ends meet, and I'm very aware of that. Both adults, three adults working at the same time to try to pay the rent and bills and kids and raise a family, it's not easy. It's mm-hmm. a lot harder than it was, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. So so you said you were down in southwestern PA.
Yeah.
And this job came up. Mm-hmm. And what was your, before you came on site, what were your thoughts about Erie? Did you know much about Erie at all?
Well, I heard that the winters are mild. That's what I heard. And that not a lot of snow.
Yeah, right.
No, I had been to Erie quite a few times vacationing with our family up in Presque Isle. Beautiful. Love the bay. It's just a really beautiful city. And but, yeah, I knew a little bit about it, but I had not been here in the winter. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, I don't think we've had any winter just yet, Brian.
But it is coming, yeah, right?
We're actually hoping for it. I mean, we want a white Christmas. It's always painful when it's raining on Christmas. I'm interested in your thoughts about the concept, and we cover it a lot around here on the radio show, is that Erie is social services rich. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
I have heard that, yeah.
I mean, when you think about that, is that just always a plus, or is there could be a minus insofar as that there's a lot of agencies competing for limited dollars?
No, I don't think it's an Erie issue either. I think that a lot of cities are struggling with that. Pittsburgh is another example where there's a lot of services being offered. I think two things for me. One, I think duplication of services just to duplicate them is really not necessary. And I think a lot of nonprofits tend to be territorial. So this is what we do, and this is our donors, and this is what you do. And I think that that's not a good approach. I think partnership and sharing the need and being more specific in what you do is a good thing. In fact, in New York, I saw such a separation of territorialism that I said, what could we do together as these nonprofits who are all trying to help these individuals on the street? And we created an outreach called Don't Walk By, which mobilized 9 organizations of 1,400 volunteers to walk every block on the island of Manhattan and look for homeless individuals.
Wow.
And we engaged, in the 5 years that I was there, we engaged 7,000 homeless people in those 5 years. But what that illustrated to me was no one's taking credit for this. Mm. It's this group that worked together to produce this event. And they could all take credit for it. You know what I mean? Like one group did this and one group did that. I thought it was a good example of how we could work together. So yes, I think, you know, duplicating services is one issue. But the other thing I think, to answer your question, is I think measurable outcomes is important. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if you give dollars to something, you know, like in the business world, I want to see what my return on that investment is, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same, I think, in nonprofit work. If you say, I'm going to support you in a certain way, what is the outcome of that investment going to be? Mm-hmm. And so it's big for me in my career to say, well, how are we measuring what we're doing? Well, we're helping people. Well, that's good, but there's a lot of people helping people. How are you taking a person from point A to point B? See, that's right. The question. How are you measuring that?
If that's what your mission is.
If that's what it is.
Because, but, you know, it could be that your mission is, how do I get somebody warm and safe
correct.
And dry overnight?
You well,
know?
Let's measure that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Go.
And I think at the end of the day, a donor or funds or grants or foundations are really moving more towards how can I get, you know, the best impact for my investment.
The new CEO of the Erie City Mission is with us here. This is an organization that is I'm passionate about. Been following this organization, gosh, over 30 years now. I'm trying to think. Even before I moved away, I think I was a teenager when I became aware of the mission. And, of course, when you have an organization that's over 100 years old. Yeah, let's pivot to the Erie City Mission. What has been the kind of the most thrilling or surprising thing of learned as you've learned and dug into the mission and its people? What has surprised you?
No, it's a good question. Having come from the mission world, so I've been in and out of 50 missions around the country in my career. Worked in one for 20 years. And what I'm impressed with about the Erie City Mission, first, is the facilities. I mean, they've done a really nice job over the last 10, 15 years of building facilities that will last and show dignity to the people that are coming in. The dining hall, the Hagen Dining Hall, and the chapel, and the dorms, these are all quality places, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm proud to walk through them and give a tour of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the second thing is the people, let me start with the board, are very passionate about what they do. I mean, none of them get paid to be on the board, and they're there, you know, helping out and serving meals. We had two board members giving out turkeys on the turkey distribution day. I mean, they're very engaged. One of our board members does all of our tax work and our accounting. I mean, it's just a very engaged
board. Some of those folks have been on that board 10, 15
Correct.
Years. I mean,
you know,
they re-up because of that passion.
They believe
in it.
Yeah. And then secondly, the people who are staff there are just, secondly, you have to be called to do this work. I say that all the time because it's not easy. It's thankless many times. You don't get paid a lot. You know, you have to be called to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a wonderful team that is passionate and called to do this work. I was impressed with in watching. I actually decided that I was going to live at the mission for my first month there as my wife was in the process of moving. So I lived in the dorms with the men for a month. And I really got to see the excellence that's there. You know what I mean? I got to see the shelter operation at nighttime. They come in, they take showers, they have a warm place to sleep, they get new sheets, they get towels. That doesn't happen by itself. You know, somebody has to do all that laundry every day. Somebody has to do all of that food every day. And I am very impressed with how they run the Erie City Mission. And the people are a main cause of that.
Let's see if we can break down, and we have time after the news at the bottom of the hour to continue this. But break down the units of the mission. And again, the first one that comes to mind is that emergency shelter.
Yep.
What's the scope of that? What does that entail? And how active is that even as, you know, I mean, even into this, well into our second 100 years of ministry, you know?
Well, the emergency shelter is set up in a way where a person can come in for up to 60 days. And there are certain rules that they have to abide by and certain things like that. And they'll come in and we have big Rubbermaid bins that they'll store their stuff in a secure place. They all take a shower, which is mandatory before they go into the dorms to stay overnight. We also have a day room where people can come in and just get out of the cold and sit there all night if they have to. And there's some TVs in there and so on. Because when it gets cold out, my philosophy is, you know, I'm not going to turn anyone away. You know, I mean, we're gonna try to take care of people. That's what we're here for. So you have the shelter area. Then you have our meals. So we're serving upwards of 135,000 meals a year to people in need. We also have a pantry that people can pick up food as they're there after lunch, and they can pick up what people have donated to us. So just to stop and say, we rely tremendously on donations of things, clothing, food to the mission. We're always unloading trucks, and so a lot of the meals we serve are generous people who are restaurants and stores and are bringing us food that we are able to use.
The lunch is an open lunch, right?
And breakfast.
And breakfast.
Breakfast and lunch is an open breakfast and lunch for the community.
Yeah.
It's not unusual to have 250 people come for lunch and breakfast. Yeah.
And again, they're eating in that dining hall.
They're eating in that beautiful dining hall, which is really beautiful. And I'd like to make an offer to folks. If you'd ever like to come down and get a tour of the mission, I would personally love to show you around and let you see what we do. So just please contact me. We'll give you that.
Are there still opportunities for groups to participate and volunteer during the lunch and breakfast?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of churches, a lot of WabTech was just there.
Nice.
Marquette Bank was just there. I mean, they all come in and, you know, they'll sign up for serve a meal or sign up to do some kind of work project. We have lots of involvement by volunteers.
Billy Sunday comes to Erie, does a bunch of tent revivals, and says, we're starting a mission. And here we are 100-plus years
ago. It's amazing.
Yeah. We were talking about emergency services, and and how many beds are in the emergency overnight?
So
and is
have,
it just men?
Yes. So at the mission proper at French Street, we do have 38 beds for men, overnight, you know, shelter, 60-day stay.
Yeah.
We have counselor that works with them to try to establish in those 60 days a plan. We hope that plan is to move into our new life program. So we have upstairs another 40 beds for men who are going through a program. So they're in the mission. They've agreed to abide by some rules, and they've agreed to abide by some structure in their life. To be drug tested, to have counseling, to attend chapels, to work around the mission. So they have a function in the mission. They might be helping out in the kitchen for a couple hours or something like that. But that's our hope, is that the men who are in the shelter would then make the decision to move into, if they have issues.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a person might be, you know, been evicted from their apartment and there's not an addiction issue, they can stay for 60 days and, you know, we'll try to help them get back on their feet. They can save some money. They might be working. That happens sometimes where individuals can save their money and then move on, which we want them to get where they need to be in a good place.
Have you experienced, it might be too soon yet, but it makes me wonder, are there places for that non-addicted person to go if they're just, you know what, they're just, they can't make the money thing work. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive to rent a housing in Erie, even though Erie's one of the more affordable communities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still, if you're making $8-9 an hour at a manufacturing plant somewhere, I mean, I don't know how you do it.
You struggle. And I think what a lot of people are doing is they're sharing, you know, so you have two or three, or you have sometimes two or three families living in the same apartment because they're trying to make it. I've been amazed at some of the ethnic groups in Erie that I've learned about. We have a large Ukrainian population, which I didn't really know. And then on the Thanksgiving turkey giveaway day, I saw at least 50 families come through that line looking for help, and kids and strollers. And it was just very interesting to me that happened. So then back to the mission, we have this new life program. Men are going through the program. We also have a women's program called Grace House, which has 14 beds in it, similar to the New Life program, where women can come in, address the issues in their life in a safe place, in a healing place. Again, the goal is to move individuals from point A to point B. B can look different for different people, you know, so depending on what their challenges are in life, we're trying to move them forward to become stable and productive in life.
It's been interesting, you know, through the years to hear how effective the recovery program is at the mission. I mean, it's been said to me time and time again that that generally how the mission's approach to recovery, to 12 steps and all of the accountability is just much more effective. Now, is it 100%? No. In fact, sometimes you have tragic circumstances where someone overdoses, you know, but for the most part, because of where the mission is coming from a faith-based orientation, it a lot of times it works, and it's permanent change in people's lives.
I mean, that's the goal, right? So taking a person and getting them where there's a not only a life change but a heart change, you know, so they've tried to deal with the, you know, a lot of people try to do behavior change. Well, we're going to stop getting high. Well, that's awesome. But you still have some issues in your life that we need to deal with, like arrogance or fear or whatever it is. And I believe that we need to have a heart change as well as a behavior change in order to see that life truly transform. And the mission tries to address that in a holistic way. You know, like, how can we address all these issues that you have? Financial, anger management, drug addiction, alcoholism, job training. How can we work with you to get you to the point where you're now functioning and stable and giving back to the society? I'm amazed at how many men come back to the, you know, our alumni who come back and share a meal with the men and come back and run a Bible study and come, or I was met with one this morning who is a graduate, and 10 years later, he's a pastor of a church.
Wow.
So he came back to visit me. We meet once a week and pray together. That's what it's about to me. That's why I get up in the morning, is to see lives transformed.
It's amazing. The, you know, making that impact, and you mentioned the women, there's a lot of special cases, you know, where, you know, women maybe have been abused, and you know, there's a lot of that kind of healing. And when you talk about all the different services that come to bear, that sounds expensive. Like, that, I mean, you have to have practitioners and people that know what they're talking about to weigh in on these people's lives.
That's correct. It's not a cookie cutter approach either. Mm-mm. So you're like, well, we're not running a factory where every piece is the same. These are people with different backgrounds, different pasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these women that come to us from domestic violence situations is heartbreaking, you know? And so how do you get past that to become functioning in society? It takes time. And we work with a lot of outside groups and a lot of outside therapists and people who can actually give specialized treatment. But these are real struggles of people in our community.
I think it's been shocking to me as I go to the mission celebration banquets and things like that over the years, of just how young some of the alumni have become, you know, the people that have launched from the New Life program and getting into society. Mm-hmm. It used to be that kind of middle-aged and older gentleman who maybe had an alcohol addiction or something like that, and, you know, they were sober. Now it's younger with maybe a multi-substance abuse disorder. Mm-hmm. And this fentanyl thing is just super scary.
Yeah, we were finding, I don't know exactly the stats here in Erie, but I've been finding in the mission world that kind of the average age of some of our residents is about 26.
Incredible.
As opposed to in the past where it was 40 or 45, you know, and alcohol was the big issue. And now it's these drugs that are just totally taking over lives so quickly. You know, and another issue is that, you know, young people are aging out of the foster care system, which we don't think about. So they hit 18 and they've been taken care of by the system for most of their life. And now, you know, good luck, you know, and that's
incredible.
You know, and there's only so many resources to go around. I'm not blaming anybody or the government or anything. The fact is, we're seeing 18, 19-year-olds come in who just don't have any direction. Like, what am I supposed to do with my life?
Wow.
And no parents, nobody guiding them, and then they come in the mission. There's no drug issue in many cases. It's just, I don't know what to do.
They're rudderless,
Rudderless, exactly. That's exactly the way to put it. So there's a lot of causes. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not a cookie-cutter approach.
Right, right. You also have the Urban University. Talk about the kids.
We have a wonderful program run by a woman, Rose Marie, who is so passionate about working with young people. And so we have these called Urban University, where they put together these activities and courses. And I went to a baking, they had a baking course where over 12 weeks they learned to bake different things. And I, you know, took the tough job of becoming the taste tester and being the judge for what was what was right. But it was just wonderful to see all the parents. They must have had 75 parents come into that dining hall, and the kids got to present all the stuff that they had made, and they had somebody demonstrating how they made creme brulee. Our chef from the mission was showing the kids how they make creme brulee, and I'm like, where is this happening? You know, in Erie. That's where it's happening at the Erie City Mission, that we're teaching kids, and they're giving them positive things to do. There's so much negative. Yep. Wherever you look, they're going to be hit with negative. Mm-hmm. How can we give them some positive? So that's what Urban University does.
Why do you think you're the right guy for the mission at this moment in their ministry?
Yeah, I've been asked that question. I believe, first of all, I believe that God directs our path. So I'm not a, you know, I don't want to be in charge of my life because it wouldn't work out too well. I want God in charge of my life. And I believe he's given me 30 years of experience working in this environment. So it's a unique niche environment, right? A mission is a unique culture. It's a unique ministry. And so I've been in that ministry and my wife for 30 plus years. And so I really am excited about bringing that experience to the Erie City Mission, but also learning from the Erie City Mission about their culture and how they do things, because they're doing a lot of great work there.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to be part of it. So to answer your question, I think I'm bringing some experience to the table and a passion for this work. And we're really excited, my wife and I.
Wonderful. And this might be an unfair question because you're so new, you know, just a couple months now. But are you seeing anything as you kind of meet people around Erie and talk to Erie folks? Do you see any gaps that are kind of, you know, eye-opening to you from your experience at the Bowery or down in Pittsburgh and so on?
You know, I haven't had as much time as I'd like to get to know the other partners and ministries here in Erie. So forgive me if I'm not knowing everybody yet. But I do know that one of the fastest-growing segments of homelessness in America is mothers with kids. When you do look at the data and you look at the studies across America, for multiple reasons, and I, you know, my wife and I, our heart goes out to these folks. You know, like you think about a mom. I said it earlier, living in a minivan with her two kids in the Walmart parking lot, trying to get enough gas to keep heat on in the van and get some food and keep her kids in school. You know, what could the mission do and what is being done to help that mother and those kids? And I'm sure there are some wonderful organizations in Erie that are doing that. But what could the mission do? What could Erie City Mission do to meet that? And another segment that I believe is tragic is our veterans. I mean, you know, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. How can we as a community, as a society, look the other way? And what can the mission do specifically? I'm sure there are many veterans in our programs, but veterans require a certain specific care, you know, for the things that they've been through and the things that they've experienced and the trauma and the PTSD and all of those things. And I, you know, what could the mission do to be a part of that solution to those men and women?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's a government office of Veterans Affairs at the county, right? I'm not sure there's a governor office of single motherhood, you know, or homeless moms.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, you know, again, one has has an ability to access funds from all the federal and state levels above them, you know, the DHS kind of funds. I'm thinking of Erie moms just bought a house that they're rehabbing for, you know, one or two families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, but it's that granular. It's that much of an impetus.
I think we can't rely on the government to solve these community issues. And I know, you know, personally, I think it's a neighborhood that's going to come together and is going to love the people who are struggling in their neighborhood, in their community.
Yeah,
that's what Erie's doing. I see it. I see a bunch of churches sharing shelter space, and they're moving from one church to the next.
Yeah.
I mean, these are grassroots things. The government didn't come in and say, "Well, here we know how to fix it." Mm-hmm. These are the community addressing a need, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, taking care of our neighbors. That's what it's all about, really, and making sure that we're clear-eyed about, you know, what some folks are carrying with them, you know.
Yeah.
Just a quick question, again, to draw from your experience, and then we'll wrap mm-hmm. up. But one of the things that we're noticing here downtown is downtown gets revitalized. There's quite a bit more panhandling and... Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. we're facing people mm-hmm. sleeping in doorways, and mm-hmm. you've mm-hmm. got human waste issues yep. and things like that. Any solutions that we should be thinking about?
Yeah, so that's a multi answer question. I think the first answer to that is my theory on the panhandling, having been in the mecca of panhandling in New York, is that I would never give somebody money, and I'm in this, I'm called to do this, right?
Yeah.
So I would rather take a person to McDonald's and buy them a lunch. That's how I would serve them. Or I would direct them to the City Mission.
Yeah.
Because I know that at the City Mission, they're going to get a good meal, and they're going to get taken care of and be offered services. Now, they might not want that. Maybe they just want the money, but I'm not going to participate in their guilt trip on me. And again, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying, from 30 years of doing this work and growing up in New York City, I personally, or my wife, would not give money to somebody. I would rather physically help them mm-hmm. and give them a ride to the Mission.
But you realize it's an easy out to flip that 5 or 10 and be done with it.
It is. Well, that's why it takes a little more maybe investment in that.
Yeah.
Are you really helping that person by giving them the $5? That's the question that I would ask.
Yeah.
I think by helping support the Erie City Mission, you're creating a place where that you can get holistic services.
100%.
I think the second issue that you mentioned about the people who are out living, sleeping in a doorway, you know, that breaks my heart. Back to the New York outreach that we did. I just can't stand by while somebody is sleeping in a doorway when there's a bed that I can offer them, or at least a warm place to stay two blocks away.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like to engage in this winter with our team is to create kind of an emergency team that's going to go out at night, drive around, see if there's any folks out there who need help. Some of our residents have offered to be part of that, say, we'd love to go out there with you. And if I can just say to a guy, listen, right now I can put you in the van and take you back to somewhere where it's warm for tonight. Let's see how we deal with tomorrow. But tonight I can get you to a warm place. I think that's what Jesus would do, right?
Mm.
And that's what I think we would like to start doing, is to really answer that question for the downtown area, is at least in our neighborhood, and we are in this neighborhood.
Yes.
Let's go out and see if there's people that we can offer help to, and even direct them, right? Take them right to the help.
We'll leave it there. Brian Johansson, the new president and CEO of the Erie City Mission. Thanks for taking the time, and great to get to know you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.